Thank you to our worship team this morning. And the stewards, we're going to take up the fellowship offering just as I come into God's word this morning. If you want to get a bit of exercise in the church, join the welcome team. They're up and down all the time. The fellowship offering, so we'll just take it up just now, and I'll just kind of get going into the introduction of the message. But this is, on Communion Sundays, we take up the fellowship offering. It helps people in need at different times. And if you are visiting the church this morning, please feel free to just pass it along. I should say, last Sunday I found this really nice grey Bible, leather Bible cover, Bible, yes, if it's yours, come and claim it. There you go. Daniel's. Oh, I was about to say, I found it over there. Right, I'll not fling it to you, David, because that could injure someone, but you know it's there. And that explains, because I thought it's got to be someone young or with really good eyesight to be able to read that print, because it was pretty small. We're back today into mission-shaped living. You remember we stopped for Advent and over the Christmas season. And during mission-shaped living, we've been really asking the question or kind of challenging ourselves to grow more into mission-shaped lives, believing that God can use each of us to reach someone for Christ. Reach one, please God. And as we've been going through mission-shaped living, we've touched on a number of things from God's Word. We've looked at how we were a sent people when we were in Luke 10. We've looked at how we go with confidence because of who Jesus is. We've looked at how we go relying on the Holy Spirit who empowers us. We're called to go as people of compassion, and we're called to connect with people. And this is where we finished the last time, if you remember, if you've got a good memory. We were looking at Zacchaeus and the story of Zacchaeus and how Jesus kind of has a meal with Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus' life has changed. Now, it's no surprise to any of you that one of the things I love about Jesus is the fact that meals were important to him. It's often one of the ways that he connected with people. In fact, when you read through the Gospels, his choice of dinner companions, if we use that phrase, got him into a lot of trouble. Got him a lot of bad press because he would often eat with people that others deemed were kind of like the wrong kind of people. So he would eat with prostitutes and criminals and tax collectors, and he faced a lot of criticism because of that. But when you also, important to when you read through the Gospels and when you read the stories of Jesus eating with people, it's always important to remember that in many ways, this is a picture of the future of the kingdom of heaven. Because Jesus' meals were open, they were inclusive, so the broken, the outcast, the forgotten came and ate with Jesus. And when we think about the kingdom of heaven, it is for all who love the Lord Jesus and confess him as Lord and Savior, no matter what their past may be. And we saw that with Zacchaeus, didn't we? That hated tax collector. And Jesus says, I'm coming to eat at your house today. But something else always jumps out at me. That's a great picture, that. I went for a kind of healthy option in that picture, just to keep you folk that are on your January good eating inspired. But something else always jumps out at me when we read the stories of Jesus eating with people. He wasn't just looking to include people when he had a meal with them. He was looking to transform their lives as well. And this is where we're heading this week with mission-shaped living. I know many of you are great at including people, at sharing your life with people, at having folks for dinner or maybe going out for dinner with folks. And I really want to keep encouraging you to do that. Jesus hung out with people around the table. In fact, you know, I've been at a few weddings recently, which is really interesting. Instead of, you know, your meal getting brought to you on a plate, it's like it's been like a sharing meal at the wedding. You know, you've been sitting around the table, and the food's kind of come, and the starters have just all been put in the middle, and you have to help yourselves, and then the main courses have come, and you have to kind of just like pass the, you know, the bowls around and kind of share the meals. And I was speaking to someone about it, and they were saying it's meant to be like trying to recreate that kind of family meal of he's kind of sitting around and eating together. I always think, though, it produces that kind of awkward standoff but there's only one chicken skewer left. And you don't really know the people that are around the table. You know what, if I'm there, I just eat it personally. But even in weddings and meals now, we're starting to see this expression of people looking to connect more relationally. And so eating together is one of the best opportunities you can have to connect with people in your lives. And if you want to know a little bit more about that, the Baptist Union of Scotland are running a workshop on the 29th of February in Easter House Baptist Church on looking at hospitality and mission. They better have some good food at it. But anyway, hospitality and mission. I'll try and get it up on our Facebook so you can get a bit more information about that. But when we look at Jesus, he loved to eat with people, but he was always looking to take it to that next level. He didn't just want to connect with people. He had a desire to see them transformed by the love of God. Or the word that you'll see used in your material this week is the word converted. And converted means to be changed. It means to start believing in something that you maybe didn't believe in before. Let me give you an example of that. Maybe there's someone who didn't see the point in budgeting. I don't see the point in budgeting my money. I'll just spend it and spend it. And when I get to the end of the month, there's something left. Or if I need to raid the change pot, so be it. And then maybe they go to the CAP course and they're shown how to budget and they are converted. Ray's nodding their head here. They are converted. They're like, I believe now in the importance of budgeting my money. They go through a change. They're converted. They believe in something that they didn't used to believe in. And Jesus always sought to include people, to connect with people, but he wanted to see them converted, to come to that place of change and believing in him. You see it with Zacchaeus, don't we? This greedy man who was a hoarder has a meal with Jesus. And Jesus didn't just connect him with him. Jesus transformed his life. He came out of that meal and he became this generous man living for God. You know, we long for the people we connect with to come to faith and know Jesus. We know it's a work of the Holy Spirit, but we also know that we, each of us, have got a part to play. And one of the challenges that many of us face is moving from that place of connecting, that place of sharing our lives with someone, and actually bringing Jesus more into the conversation. Many of us are good at that, hanging out with people and connecting with them, but bringing Jesus more into the conversation can be a real challenge. And a lot of the time we think, you know, I'll do it by inviting them to Alpha. Now, I love Alpha. You know that I'm a big fan of Alpha. I popped in on Wednesday. The place was buzzing. It was full of folk. It was really exciting. There is still opportunity for you to go along to Alpha. If you're wondering, what is all this Christian faith about? What is that guy up the front talking about? Then Alpha is the place for you to go to. 7 o'clock this coming Wednesday. Speak to Rory or myself about that this morning. So I went, Alpha is great. It's a great place to go and be invited to hear about Jesus. Sometimes we think, you know, I'll invite my friend along the church to hear about Jesus. Fantastic. I love it when people come to church. It's great to come to church and be in God's presence. But what if God was asking you to sit with that person and tell your story of how Jesus has changed your life? That's what you're going to be looking at in Mission Shape 11, Session 7 this week. What if, though, God was asking you to actually open your Bible with them and look at the life of Jesus with someone you know? You know, someone that you're having a meal with, someone that you're connecting with, rather than inviting them to something which is fantastic, what if actually God was asking you to sit with them yourself and open your Bible and have a conversation with them? That's why I called this message Hospitality, the Bible, and Mission. It's quite a challenge, that. But for those of you that have been doing the Mission Shaped Living course, it is actually, whether you're aware of this or not, that course has actually been preparing you to do this. Because the up section, the word section that we do every week, is asking three questions. It's asking, when you read a Bible passage, it's asking, what does this passage tell me about Jesus? And therefore God, because Jesus is God. What does this passage tell me about people and human life? And how do we respond to this passage? So maybe as well as inviting someone to something like Alpha or inviting someone to come to church, Jesus is also asking you to sit with someone and open your Bible and talk about Jesus. And this is what we're going to look at this morning, the Mission Shaped Living material. They give us a number of different texts. It is a great way to do this with folks. We're going to look at one of them this morning. We'll maybe come back and look at the others another time. But this morning, we're called to be a people that connect with people. Maybe that's through eating. That's one of the great ways of doing it. But it's also to take up that next step. And maybe that's about opening our Bibles with folks and having a conversation with them. So we're going to do that this morning. We're going to almost do a wee trial of this morning as we come to Luke chapter 5. Last week we were in Luke chapter 5 and Rory was sharing with us about the life of Andrew, that simple, urgent, intentional life of mission. And then we see that Jesus moves on from that and he heals a man who's got leprosy. And now we come to our text from this morning. Luke chapter 5, reading from verse 17. One day Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal those who were ill. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up and take your mat and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." Heavenly Father, as we come now into your word, our prayer is always that you would take your word and through the power of your Spirit, you would speak into each of our lives this morning. That you would do remarkable things here today. Holy Spirit, continue to be amongst us. Continue to be moving in power here this very morning, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. What does this story tell us then about Jesus? Well, maybe if you were sitting with someone, there would be things that you would just observe from this passage. Jesus was obviously someone that people wanted to listen to. You know, even the religious leaders have gathered from all over the area to come and to hear Jesus. But things start to get interesting, though, when we read the words, you know, "the Lord's healing power was with him." So here was Jesus doing miracles, and these miracles were drawing people to Jesus. In fact, the whole reason that this guy is brought before Jesus is a hope that he will do a miracle and heal him. But what Jesus says to this man reveals a great deal about Jesus. And you know, in the story we read that the folks can't get in. The place is just mobbed. They climb up onto the top of this roof. Maybe there were stairs or a ladder or something like that. And they lower the man down before Jesus. Now, if you'd handed me a bit of paper, and this bit of paper had said, "The man was lowered down and Jesus said to him," and I was to fill in the blank, I would have said something like, "Oh, Jesus said to him, 'Be healed.'" But look what Jesus says to him. He says, friend, your sins are forgiven. Now, nobody would have been expecting that. Everyone would have been expecting for Jesus to say, you know, get up, young man. But Jesus says to him, your sins are forgiven. And we read in verse 21, the religious leaders are like, oh, only God can forgive sins. This is blasphemy. And Jesus knows what he's thinking. And he says to him, is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or stand up and walk? And in verse 24, I'll prove to you that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sin. And he turns to the man, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. Now we need to back up a moment here because there's something really important that we need to understand about the culture at this time. The folks surrounding Jesus in that crowded room had a pretty mucked up way of thinking about sin and health. They believed that often ill health was a result of sin. And for this paralyzed man, he himself lived in this culture that would have put a lot of condemnation onto him. And when you think about it, that's quite cruel. You know, quite cruel to think that your suffering is because of sin in your life. Yes, maybe we make choices and that happens, but a lot of people suffer, not because of their own personal sin. I was reading something that was trying to describe suffering to a child, and I thought, wow, there's a challenge. How do you describe suffering to a child? And they were thinking about, you know, picture a Rubik's Cube, you know, and when it's all perfectly made, all the colours are in the right places, and all the sides and all the boxes are lined up. But when sin came into this world, sin mucked everything up. What was perfect got completely mucked up. And that's what happened. That's why there's so much suffering in this world, because everything is mucked up. And it's only when Jesus returns and there's a new heaven and a new earth that things will get put back together. I must ask the child if they understood that. But it's so important that you understand in this culture that they had this thought that suffering was related often to personal sin. Now, suddenly when we think about that, Jesus' words really get our attention. Because Jesus sees this young man getting lowered down. He would have maybe been able to tell he was paralyzed in some way. But Jesus says to him, the first thing that Jesus says to him is, friend, your sins are forgiven. See, this man would have been oppressed. And maybe he was beating himself up. Maybe he was thinking, I'm like this because of my sin. And Jesus breaks that off of him. And he says, your sins are forgiven. Whatever you think about yourself, I'm dealing with that first. And Jesus deals with who we are on the inside. And you know, and Jesus creates an incredible dilemma for those religious leaders. He says to them, is it easier to say that sins are forgiven or to tell this man to get up and walk? Remember what they're thinking. They're thinking this man is a sinner, so he'll not be able to get healed because of his sin. So to be cured in their mind, they're thinking his sins need to be forgiven. And so I love what Jesus does. He just blows them right out of the water because Jesus heals the man. He heals this man, showing them that he's got the power also to do that greater miracle of forgiving sins. And what were they thinking earlier? Who can forgive sins but God alone? See, he's revealing to them who he actually is in the healing and in the forgiving of this man's sin. You know, this culture had a cruel way of thinking about health and sin. And we see that Jesus deals firstly with the man's heart. He looks at what he's carrying deep inside himself. Maybe shame, maybe guilt. And he says, your sins are forgiven, friend. Maybe this morning, those words of Jesus are just what you need to hear coming into your life again. Your sins are forgiven. Maybe if you're sitting with someone and you've opened your Bible with them, that would be a great opportunity to discuss with them, who is this Jesus that forgives sins? A great opportunity to discuss with them, what is sin? What does it mean to be forgiven? How is sin forgiven? Bringing in the cross and Jesus, the Son of God, dying for the sins of the world, bringing in repentance, bringing in Jesus, the resurrection and the power to forgive. But this is a story that shows us this morning that Jesus, full of compassion, has the power and the authority to make a difference in your life, to take away shame. You know, this story in many ways, and many of the stories in the gospel, are a picture of what Jesus came to do. He came to liberate us and bring us into new life. But what does this story tell me about people and the human life? Just very quickly, because I want to come on more to the third question. When we're looking at a story like that, when we're opening up a story like this, it reminds us that there is pain and struggle. This is a story that's got pain and struggle. This man would have been struggling in the culture of which he lived in that day. It's a story about friendship. It's a story about criticism. Notice the Pharisees. They show no care at all for the man who's been lowered down. They're just moaning and groaning. There's no compassion there at all. It tells me that there are people that are searching for hope and for answer and for change. It tells me that we are people that need our sins forgiven. So there's much that you could do in that text when you look at open up and think, what does it tell us about life and people? But how do we respond to a text like this? Well, for most of us here this morning, are followers of Jesus. And I want to just look at this group. I've not really focused on them yet. The friends that bring the paralyzed man to Jesus. We know little about this group. We don't really know how far they lived or where they lived from what was taking place. But obviously they had heard. They had obviously heard that something was happening, that Jesus had come into town. They cared for their friend and they thought, we've got to get our friend to Jesus. And they pick him up and they carry him to this house. And the place is just packed out. And I don't know about you, but I absolutely hate queues. I just go immediately into this grumpy place whenever I get stuck in a queue. If I turned up at that house and it was jammed full of people, I'd have been like, oh, we'll come back tomorrow. I'm not going to wait in this queue. But these guys are like, you know, they're a resourceful group of friends. And they go up on the roof and they clear the tiles and they clear the mud away and they lower their friend down right in front of Jesus. I don't think about it. You know, every time I've read this story, I've read this story so many times. And it just strikes me every time I read this story. These men were the difference between their friend meeting Jesus and not meeting Jesus. They made the difference. Their friend would never have come before Jesus if they had not picked him up and carried him and brought him there. They had the compassion. They heard about Jesus and what he was doing, and maybe they thought, you know, we need to get you to Jesus. They had compassion. They had the commitment. They weren't put off by the crowd. Can you just imagine, as they were opening up that roof, try and engage your imagination for a moment. Yeah, there was probably a lot of, there was a place which was just crammed with folk. Suddenly all this dust would have probably, and bits of mud would have probably started falling down on people. People probably started moaning at them, what are you doing? If I was the owner of the house, I'd have been saying, hey, that's my roof. What are you doing? Tearing a hole in my roof. It would have been quite a dramatic moment, but they weren't put off. They were persistent. They were focused. They were determined. Their friend was going to get to meet Jesus. And look at your text there. What does Luke record for us that Jesus sees? He says in verse 20, seeing their faith. You see, their compassion made a difference. We've got to get you help here. Their commitment made a difference. We're going to get you to him no matter what. But their faith made all the difference because they believed that in getting their friend to Jesus, something was going to happen. See, faith is not just a belief. It is an action. And I kind of love to picture this story here. I love to picture the friends. Maybe they were sitting on Friday night with some pita bread and some olives. Another friend comes in and says, that guy Jesus is down the road healing people. And they're like, you know what, we could take Bob to him. Bob's probably not a first century name, but we'll just call him Bob. We could take Bob to him. You know, we believe the stories we've been hearing about this guy Jesus. And they're moved by compassion and they're moved by commitment. But they're moved by faith because they knew that getting their friend before Jesus, something was going to happen. You know, one of the other things I love about this story is it would have required teamwork. I don't know if you've ever tried carrying something upstairs. Now, Jim and I have often carried something up, that turn in Church House, that twist in the stairs in Church House, lift it higher, you know, move it a bit to the left. You've got to work together as a team. And you know, when the local church is united, when the local church is united in prayer, when the local church is united in fasting, the local church is united in giving and in serving and in mission, people meet Jesus. You know, this group of guys were united together. And this young man meets Jesus. When we are united together, people meet Jesus. You might never go near Youth Alpha on a Saturday night. You might never go near the Wednesday Alpha. But you might say, you know what, I'm going to pray every day for it. I'm going to fast once a week, particularly to pray for Alpha. That's teamwork. That's uniting together. And that's how people get to meet Jesus. But maybe individually in your own life, there's someone that God has placed in your life for you to be compassionate to, for you to be committed to, for you to be the person that opens up God's word with them and says, what does this tell us about Jesus? What does this tell us about life? How do we respond to this? You know, the number one reason that people come to church or come to Alpha or come to start exploring the Christian faith is because a friend has asked them to do that. It's each one, reach one, please God. That's you and me. Someone in your life maybe that God is calling you to show compassion to, committed to, and have that faith over the long haul maybe that actually Jesus will transform their lives. So as we come to close this morning, let me encourage you to keep connecting with people. Keep using that simple format of actually eating with people. It's kind of been a bit of a lost art, that, a wee bit. You know, I love food, and I think we've taken on a bit of pressure that if we're having folk to our house, we've got to put out some amazing, you know, fancy five-star kind of Heston Blumenthal kind of meal towards folk. You know what? If you get up in the morning, shove your slow cooker on, you come home at night, it doesn't need to be anything too fancy. Most of us just love it if someone's making a meal for us. And you can gather around that table and just share your life with folks. And then as you're doing that, maybe that opportunity, yes, to invite them to something like Alpha or to invite them to church in an evangelistic event. But maybe actually there'll also be that opportunity for you to be the one to tell your story of how Jesus has changed your life and to open up the Bible and read the stories of Jesus with a friend. Let us pray together. The band are going to come back up. Father God, we thank you for this story this morning. We thank you. There's so much in it that we could learn from and be inspired from and be challenged by. Jesus, we thank you that ultimately you're the one who makes the difference in that young man's life. He comes before you. We don't know his history. We don't know his background, but you knew everything about him. You knew everything that everyone else was thinking, all the negative thoughts. Who does this guy think he is that he can forgive sins? But Jesus, you looked at that young man and you dealt with what was inside first. And you healed him and you forgave him of his sins. And then you healed him physically and he got up and he walked away and everyone was left in awe at the remarkable things that they had seen. Father God, if we are here this morning and we love you and we know that you're in our lives, then we've got a remarkable story to tell. A story of a time in our lives where we didn't know you. A story of a time in our lives where maybe it was a season, maybe it was just in a meeting we went along to. We've got a story to tell of how you found us. A remarkable story. And a story to tell of how you've taken us on in our lives. And so, Lord, I pray this morning for each of us here that know you as our Lord and Savior, that we will not forget just how remarkable a story of your personal salvation in each of our lives it is. But Lord, I really pray this morning Maybe there's some folks here, and many of us here, you know, who maybe there's just stuff we need to come and lay before you, Jesus, this morning. You know, that young man was brought and he was laying before you. And you met him where he was at. And you dealt with all the stuff that was going on in his life. And maybe there's just some of us here this morning. And we need to come and figuratively speaking, lay some stuff before you. Maybe it is shame. Maybe we're one of these, we don't grasp just how wonderful your forgiveness is. And we're still carrying this thought of, you can't forgive me, Jesus. You can't forgive me. I've done this. Jesus forgives you of all your sins. And if you're carrying a burden of shame this morning, then bring it to him. Lay it before him. And hear him say those words to you this morning. Friend, your sins are forgiven. Maybe it's something else. Maybe a work challenge, an emotional issue, a relationship issue in your life. Maybe it's financial. This is January. You know, maybe you're looking, thinking, how am I going to get to the end of this month after the expense of Christmas come? Lay it all before him. Bring it all before him. Maybe it's just pain and sorrow. And you just need to know the love and embrace of Jesus in your life this morning. You need to know that you're held by him and that he's there for you. We bring all that's in our lives before you, Jesus. Just in this moment in your presence. I'm going to invite the prayer ministry team to come forward. I think it's Ron and Myra. They're going to come forward. And other prayer folk are in around this morning. And for once, I've managed to give us a bit of time to just stay in God's presence and allow him to minister into your life this morning. The service is not finished. I will tell you when the service is finished. But we're going to give you an opportunity to receive prayer this morning. That young man came and he came before Jesus. Jesus healed him. And maybe this morning it can be a good thing, it can be a struggle, it can be someone else that you want to bring and get prayer for. But we want to just give you that opportunity to come and receive prayer this morning. Rory's going to come up the front here as well. If you need prayer on this side, we'll make it easier for you. Just if you want to receive prayer, feel free to come forward. We're just going to take a moment in God's presence. We don't do this putting pressure on anyone. We just do this to wait in his presence, believing that his Spirit is moving amongst us.